This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 210. One sister, two sister.
Three sister bunch. Daylight come and me won't go home. Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And my voice is almost back to normal.
Thank God.
Yeah, I've only been sick for like, what, a month?
if that.
I don't know, it's almost been 4 weeks. Huzzah for bronchitis. Anyway, that's not the fun thing. That's not why you listen to us to find out about what ails me or doesn't. You like to know what's going on with us and our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you along when you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or even questions for us, you can email us at our new address, mailbag@landofash.com.
Yay! We have some new!
If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, then you can subscribe there.
Yes, please, Jesus, subscribe in iTunes, because that way we can be sure that you'll get every episode of our podcast in its entirety, no filter, no edits, just pure awesome. Go to iTunes right now and look for Electric Sisterhood, bam, hit that subscribe button. It'll be the first present you give yourself all week long.
I give myself presents every day. But if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But also be looking out for some great shows that come out of the ESH camp.
That's right. Our show is not the only show that you can enjoy during the week. You can grab our show on Monday. New episodes every single week, pretty much, for 4 years in a row. And then on Tuesdays, you can follow it up with a brand new episode of the Boston Bash Brigade, which is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. And on Wednesday, sock you with a new episode of the Geek Aggro Podcast, co-hosted by none other than ESH Crew alum, Deuces Wild. So right there, we've got your nerd covered. Video games, tech gadgets, PC gaming, sports, movies, music, boom! Right there at your fingertips, in your ear holes, for your listening pleasure. And then, to get you through the rest of the week, there are all the stuff that we write on our respective websites, there's all the stuff that we do on Twitter, which can be found simply from all of us by going to thelandofesh.com. That's www.landofesh.com. Right there at your little fingertips, including the ability to buy an issue of our magazine, which, if you haven't bought one, trust me, it's fire. You need to get on that. $5.99,
totally worth
and it's
it, dude.
Totally awesome. We've got stuff in there on the Palm Prix. There's stuff in there on 3D.GameHeroes. There's a little bit about our podcast and shit I dig. And, you know, I believe, Panda, that you even talked about Naughty Bear in there.
Yeah, I did. And yeah. I'm really kind of disappointed in that. But that's a totally different article that may happen in the next issue of the magazine.
Who knows? You'll know if you buy it. So make sure that you stop by landofesh.com to check out all the things that are going on in the land of Esh.
Please and thank you.
Okay, Kate, bye. So now that we've got the business out of the way, let's talk turkey. More importantly, Okay. Let's talk video games, tech gadgets, and anime.
All right, that sounds like a plan to me, sis.
Because it's been a busy week. There's been a lot going on. It's been kind of hard to keep up with anything. You know, Gamescom is right around the corner, so everyone's starting to do more press releases and more developer diary videos, and I haven't been able to keep up with all the mail that we got this week, PR-wise, for video games. But I did pick out a couple of things that I really, in all honesty, had fallen off my radar and had forgotten about, that I was making a big deal about in my head back when I first heard about them. The one that I'm going to focus on, I think, is one that I really haven't seen a lot of buzz about that I'm actually kind of excited about and glad that I found an email about it. So here's a story I'd like to hear. Here you go. From Namco Bandai. Or depending
Namco
upon...
Bandai.
Or depending upon who you ask, Bandai Namco. Or Banco. Or
Banco sounds better.
Bamco.
Banco.
That sounds like that company that was in the Ren and Stimpy cartoons. Bamco.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. The more you know. Anyway, the game is made by one of my more favorite developers, Ninja Theory, who, if you're not familiar with them, I'm going to say Heavenly Sword, and you're going to be like, oh, that really pretty game that had some issues.
A lot of pretty things have issues. Oh, just kidding.
It's true. It's funny because it's true. But really,
giggles.
Sorry. Yeah, I Heavenly Sword, I think, was the only PS3 game that when I saw it, I was like, okay, I got to get a PS3 so I can play this. And I the only disappointment that I had with Heavenly Sword was the six-axis control, which was supposed to be the thing that was going to sell games on the PS3. And the six-axis controls actually made the game more difficult to play. And so it was actually easier to get through the game and enjoy the experience and the story if you turned it off and just played it like a regular action game, which I did. But Heavenly Sword was a game that a lot of people referred to as Goddess of War.
Okay. Do you think Kratos would have done that check?
Kratos would have tapped Naruto. The question is, would Naruto have tapped Kratos?
Oh, okay. What a bitch.
I don't think.
I would tap that.
I would tap it too, but I don't think that...
I would do a recital on that shit. Tippity tap tap. Just saying.
I'll make sure to tell T.C. Carter. T.J. Carter, I mean. But I don't think that Kratos would be high on the list of what Naruto would do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed the game. Did you ever play Heavenly Sword?
No.
You really should have. It's a short game if you're good at action-adventure and you turn off the six-axis control if you have a six-axis remote for your PS3. But it was very beautifully done, and the story was good. Twin Tang was the worst thought ever. Ninja Theory, please don't. It's a game that you have to play. It's not a game that you have to play, but it is part of the story that comes up with one of the characters, and she refers to it as a game, and the game is called Twin Twang. And Twin Twang will make you want to throw your PS3 through a wall.
Yeah, I don't want to play that because I like my PS3.
Okay. But the story was really deep, and, you know, the actors that they got involved were great, and visually, Heavenly Sword is stunning. And to this day is stunning. Plus, the company's called Ninja Theory. I kind of has love for ninjas. So right there, off the bat, I'm pretty interested in what they're going to be doing. I played the Kung Fu Chaos game, which was a fun pickup game, and I really had been wondering what they were going to do next, and now I know. And it comes out actually October 5th of this year. So, again, another thing that my money's probably going to go out the door for. But the game is called Enslaved: Odyssey to the West. And I'd heard about this game in mid-2009. And there was some rumblings on the Ninja Theory forum. And I thought, okay, so I know that they're working on something because not a lot of people loved Heavenly Sword. And so I was afraid that that was going to kind of be the death knell for the development company. But they were working on this game. And it is for Namco Bandai. Bandai Namco.
Namco Bandai.
Namdai Banco.
Banco.
Banco. Maybe that's the way that, you know, all the Soul Calibur games will start now. Bunko.
You know, I...
No, here's the problem I have with that. It sounds too much like Bunkai.
Bunkai Tenkaichi 7.
No, no, no!
Tenkaichi 7.
No! But anyway, I'm getting off topic.
What else do we do?
I know, that's kind of our raison d'etre. Especially when we're feeling good and I have caffeine. But the game is going to be on the Xbox 360 and on the PS3. Like I said, it comes out October 5th of this year. And basically, the setup of the game is it's post-apocalyptic Earth. Hey!
We've seen this setting before.
No shit, Sherlock. But it is, you know, Ninja Theory style. And they do focus a lot on the aesthetic and the storytelling, which is really important to me. As I've said before on many, many a podcast episode, it doesn't necessarily have to be the most gorgeous thing on the planet, but it has to have a deep story that I want to follow, that I want to be a part of. And Ninja Theory does a really good job of delivering that, or at least they have in the previous things that they've done that I've played, which right now is majorly just Heavenly Sword. So, you know, they're batting 100 right now, or doing 100%, because you don't want to bat 100, that would be bad. You want to bat 500. Anyway, I don't know. I don't follow baseball. I'm a football girl.
Me neither. Either of them, actually.
Yeah, no, I'm a football girl. But anyway, the story takes place, and you're in America, but it's 100 years from today in the future. And the main character is called Monkey.
Okay.
And Monkey is really strong, really athletic.
Like Goku?
Kai? No, because he's not
simple. Does he have a tail?
No, he's not simple. No. Monkey is a brute, okay? Monkey is built like Kratos, but he wears full-on pants and not a ripped toga skirt thing.
A gi.
No, he doesn't wear a gi. He just wears pants.
Oh.
Although, if you pre-order from Walmart, you can get a downloadable content version costume that is a red gi, kind of like the one that Ken wears in Super Street Fighter. If you want to do that.
Walmart, you're silly.
Walmart's
seriously trying now.
I know. The different options for extras that you get depending upon where you...
Oh my god, can you imagine that? Like, you go and you enter in, like, a multiplayer game if it has that feature, and someone's like, oh, looks like you got yours at Walmart. Lame. We point at you.
The internet. That hurts me in my little internet soul.
Just saying.
But the...
do that.
Kind of the big deal about this game is it seems to borrow a little bit from the idea of... not the last Prince of Persia game, not Forgotten Sands, but the Prince of Persia game before that, where even though it was a single-player game, you were forced to go through the game with a second character.
The chick girl thing?
Yeah, Elika in Prince of Persia. Well, a similar thing happens in Enslaved. In Enslaved, basically, Monkey is basically captured by
he's
robots.
Enslaved.
Yeah. By robots that still exist, left over from the wars that happened, you know,
in the past. Are they from the Sarah Connor trials?
They were not from Sarah. They might have been. I don't know. It's possible that they're evolved Terminators. And that would be a twist. But,
M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong strikes again.
Shyamalama Ding Dong strikes again. Basically, he is captured by these robots and is being taken out into the West. And he's captured along with this chick named Trip, who's really, really smart.
Is she a Trip?
She might be a Trip. It's a possibility.
She's trapped?
She is trapped. It is a trap. Okay.
All right.
They are enslaved. And there may be a twist.
A lot of tease there.
There's a lot of tease there. I like alliteration. But while she's...
It wouldn't be alliteration that way, wouldn't it?
No, it wouldn't.
Consonants?
Yeah, it would. And so it's not. But you know what? You don't have to...
Oh! Smart skills. Plus 5 points.
Moving right along. Trip realizes that Monkey's really strong And she's not strong. She's just smart. And so the only way that she'll probably be able to get away from the captors alive is if she gets Monkey to help her. But he has no intentions of helping her. He just wants to get out himself. So she basically jacks one of the headbands that the robots were planning to use to enslave both her and Monkey, to enslave Monkey and make Monkey help her. So she sets it up and gets the headband on Monkey and pretty much says, now here's the deal. If I die, you die. So get me out of here.
Wait, how?
You're gonna have to play the game to see how that works. Okay, but I'm just reading the description of the game, talking about what's going on. But basically, it's like a headband of doom. And if I die, it's kind of like being fucking jacked into the net. Okay? If the one dies, we all die.
Oh.
Okay. So it basically becomes, you have to get your character, who you mostly play as Monkey, to work with the character of Trip to basically escape and make it through the levels and progress through the game and hopefully make it out of the West.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And there's another character that's in the game, too. I think it's called Piggy. Who kind of looks like a pig. Big fat dude. Kind of, sort of robotic.
Is his name Oolong?
His name is not Oolong. Stop it.
Sorry, I'm seeing a lot of simulations here.
You're seeing a lot of assimilation?
I'm seeing, yes.
Resistance is futile. True. But wrong series. But what's really interesting to me is the amount of effort that's put into this game. Okay? For instance, the guy who played the villain in Heavenly Sword, King Bottom,
is there a King Top?
Stop it! Not Bottom, Bohan.
All right. Well, it sounded like Bottom to me.
Bohan, King Bohan.
Right. Okay.
Look, I have congestions still.
Bottom and King
Top. Stop it! No, not King Bottom and not King Top. That's a different podcast. Let me get through my notes.
Okay.
Andy Serkis, who everybody else who listens to this podcast knows him as Gollum from The Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Okay. He not only directs in this game, but is Monkey.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a twist.
Okay. And then the guy who wrote the screenplay for 28 Days Later and wrote The Beach.
Oh, I liked The Beach.
Alex Garland. He has been working as co-writer on the game and did most of the script and the in-game dialogue. So Ninja Theory is not just haphazardly putting together the story and the scenery and the cinematics. They're definitely aggressively going after some of the new style storytellers.
Oh, well, that's great. Maybe they should get the dude from Inception.
I haven't seen Inception.
Oh, you need to see Inception, dude.
We'll get to that. But the game itself is loosely inspired by the Journey to the West novel.
Right. Which is also, you do realize that Dragon Ball was also kind of loosely based on this exact same.
Right, which is why you kind of have the monkey and the brain and the pig, but it's not exact.
Are there seven balls?
I don't know if there are seven balls or not. That my notes don't say anything about balls. Okay, and believe me, if there were balls involved, I would have made an entire section devoted. Yeah, I've said it. But like I said, the game Enslaved Journey into the West comes out October 5th, and it's going to be on the Xbox 360, it's going to be on the PlayStation 3. I'm going to tell you right now, you should absolutely rent it.
Okay.
Because the visual style alone will be fun to look at. I'll put a couple of pictures from screenshots of the game in the post on the website, so you can make sure that you check those out. It is definitely a stunning game. And with the people involved that they've listed so far, you know, Ninja Theory redesigned their website, and they've been a little hush-hush about everybody that's involved. You can visit www.enslaved-thegame.com to learn more about the game and see some of the videos that are going on and so you have a better idea of visuals that I'm talking about. But it's definitely going to be worth the rental. I'll tell you more after October 5th if it's worth a purchase.
All right, then.
But I'm really excited about it because, you know, again, for me, it's I want great story, I want great gameplay, and then I want good visuals. But if you can give me the trifecta of awesome, I will give you my American Express card number.
Oh, wow. All right, then.
So we'll see what's up. But Namco, I'm looking at you. Bring the fire. I don't want no shitty-ass Tenkaichi. Yeah, I said it.
Like, get better, please.
So, that's my thing. That's what I'm on, dog. That's my deal, man. Enslaved, I'm glad that I got an email to remind myself that I wanted you. I wanted you desperately.
You're weird.
Yeah, it's because I've gotten sleep and I've got caffeine and I'm like, hey, I can play video games again. And then the only other thing that I did recently was I watched the Video Games Live concert that Tommy Tallarico and the Video Games Live crew recorded that aired on PBS and has been airing across the country on various PBS channels. And I just thought it was really cool to see PBS, you know, donate some time and love to the symphony music of video games. You know, because I haven't been to a Video Games Live actual concert. But I have always been near or in areas where they were about to go off and always told myself that I wanted to go to one. Are you familiar with Video Games Live?
Yes, and I've never been either.
But it was really nice to watch it on PBS, and even though my PBS channel at the time was going through their fundraiser dealy, so of course it was, you know, give me some money so we can keep going because of viewers like you.
Like viewers like you.
And it wasn't even brought to me by the Carnegie Corporation.
The con what?
Okay, you're too young to remember that, but people of a certain age who watch WGBH in Boston know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yep. Let's move on. Anyway, I'm really dating myself right now. That's really bad. But what was interesting to me was to see the kind of audience that was at the show that they did the taping of for Video Games Live. It was definitely more whole families, you know, than just people my age, which I would really have presumed that the primary audience for Video Games Live would have been gamers like me, you know, around my age that have the affinity for musicals and opera and symphony music, but also at their core also like to frag and love every single piece of music that's ever been used in every Zelda game that has ever existed. And it was really interesting to see that what I expected the audience to be was not what the audience was. It was more families that, you know, this was the first experience that they'd ever had with their kids going out to see a symphony play, and it was both accessible for the kids because it was games that they were playing, and they, as soon as the music would start, they immediately recognized and then had the video going, or and then the parents could share in that they appreciate symphony music. And now we're probably getting exposed a little bit more in depth to some of the games that the kids were playing. And so it was really interesting to me to watch the hour, the different shots that were taken of family interactions and things like that. And so I think it's really cool to see that the shape of the gaming market, the gaming community, who's really starting to get involved, is definitely changing. It's not just the hardcore. It's not just, you know, the 18 to 24 consumer chick or dude who's casual, but is definitely sweeping more towards really being a broad group. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I completely get that in terms of the whole orchestral vibe thing. Like, back when it was New Year's, I went with King Baby Duck and Nanya to go see Amanda Palmer with the Pops here in Boston. The Pops are kind of, you know.
I'm so jealous.
It was, believe it or not, it was last minute. Like, I really wasn't expecting that we'd end up going because our rides got sick. But,
I'm so jealous.
Nanya was awesome about helping
us. I'm really jealous.
I noticed. And literally,
I love Amanda Palmer.
She's awesome. I can't believe
she's been married. I've seen the Boston Pops, but Amanda Palmer.
Yeah, well, she made them even more awesome than they were initially.
All right.
But, I mean, they had done a survey, apparently, like, before the whole show went off to do the top five most requested songs with Amanda, you know, from the Pops. And the first song was the Imperial March of the Stormtrooper. And literally, when they were done, the I can't remember what his name is. I think his last name's like Lockhart, I think. The
Keith.
Or, yeah, that guy. He was like, that dude. And I know for a fact that when he was done, he's like, you know, I had a feeling that this would be the opening song from this group of people. I had the feeling, and I'm so glad we did it. I mean, literally, people were just like, oh, my God, how epic does this sound? Like, it did. It totally came from a totally different world. So I completely understand that train of thought.
It led me to thinking about the music that is in video games. And a lot of times we take it for granted. A big chunk of the time, the music really does not add much to what's going on in the game. But if you think about, you know, all of the games that have really done well over the last few years that have ended up becoming franchises and things like that, the music has really been treated like a character in those games. You know, you think of the music that goes on in God of War. Okay, there's nothing more bombastic than the music of God of War. Okay, I mean, it completely changes the mood. It changes how I react as far as my speed on button mashing. Because I know whenever the tempo picks up, battle's about to happen.
Usually. Or when you, or when things, you know, are getting ominous, the tone of the music will definitely drop 3 or 4 octaves.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear a lot more bass sometimes, too.
Okay? When the violin comes in and goes, do-do-do, do-do-do, yeah, that shit's about to get real.
Shit just got real.
Okay. If you hear Dominus, yeah, shit.
Yep, shit's someone's about gonna to die.
Somebody's about to die. Dominus. Okay, somebody's gonna die. When the Latin starts, bad things happen.
Either someone's possessed or someone's gonna die.
Exactly.
Maybe even both.
It's not gonna be pretty. Okay, but then you think about, you know, like Assassin's Creed. Okay, that music that plays as you're walking through towns and cities and then changes as the FMVs, you know, start playing. Music is a big, big identifiable piece of a game. You know, when they started playing some of the music for Sonic, I was actually popping popcorn in my kitchen, and I ran out of my kitchen because I was like, wait, that's Land 1-2? And I had to stop and come running out of my kitchen. Now, I played that Sonic game back before high school.
When I went home, apparently, because I never let you touch my Sonic games.
You know what?
Yeah.
Let's
exactly.
just...
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
do we want to start going tit for tat about...
No.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think we want to go there. I think we just want to let that be, you know, and just accept that, hey, we're family. So at least it stayed in the family. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes, let's just leave that at that. All right? Okay. Anyway, but I started thinking about, as other songs started playing, you know, the music for Castlevania, for instance, and, you know, Kid Icarus music, and, of course, you know, the various Zelda songs, because they did an entire mashup. You know, I started thinking about how identifiable those games are by their music, and how I really hadn't thought about game music, but we all We all know it. I mean, you've been at a con and heard someone's phone ring, and it's the theme to the Super Mario Brothers game. And you know it immediately.
I believe last year, not that I got to go to Anime Boston, but someone had that little sound that happens when the communicator goes off in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, that doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. And literally, it started to spread, and pretty much everyone on one floor had that ringtone going off, like, all the time. Apparently, from what I heard, since I wasn't able to go to Anime Boston this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, but it's really interesting how it creates an instant shared experience. You know, if we're walking around the halls of E3, and all of a sudden, you know, the music for the Water World in the Super Mario game comes on.
Yeah.
Okay? We all know that music. People are going to stop. And there's going to be a cheer that rises up because we all remember that Water World and those stupid fucking squid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's just really interesting to me how powerful that is, you know, 10 years removed from that, 12 years, 15 years removed from that. How powerful and how much that does stay with you. Because it is really, when done well, a character in the game. Like, when I immediately hear the God of War music, which I have used as a ringtone before, it immediately triggers that image of Kratos for me. And it's not the image of Kratos sitting on the throne, and it's not the image of Kratos, you know, hacking and slashing. It's that image of Kratos on the cliff getting ready to jump like a pussy.
He's like, I can't take it anymore.
Poor Kratos. He's tried to kill himself, like, 3 times. Just can't die.
That's so Huey. He is.
He just can't die. He's just like, I threw myself off a cliff. I got stabbed through the gut with a sword of basically Zeus.
Yeah.
I didn't die then because the Titans brought me back. I killed the Titans. And then I killed Zeus.
Again.
And I stabbed myself with that damn sword.
Like, I punched Zeus's head off.
Yeah, I did kind of obliterate Zeus. I didn't realize that I needed to stop. So I literally was punching for about 5 minutes before I was like, damn, my finger's tired. And stopped and then realized, I pummeled him to death. I guess I was supposed to stop. I did get the little trophy thing for that, though, for exacting the bloody revenge.
Bloody? Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Hey, Zeus had it coming. Zeus was kind of a dick.
Agreed. I completely agree with you.
Hey, Zeus could have totally kept Ares from screwing me over.
Yep, but he didn't.
And he didn't. And I'm his kid, too.
Bad daddy.
He's a bad daddy. He was totally playing favorites. And didn't even like Ares that much. So that really means he didn't like me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't have daddy issues. But it's just interesting to me, and I'm curious to see moving forward, since it seems like at least this year there's a lot more effort being put on the storytelling and really making things epic. You know, you think about the music in God of War, you think about the music in Halo.
Yeah.
Okay, we all know the Molyneux theme. We all know it. Even if you haven't played Halo, you know the music to Halo. You've seen a commercial. You have a friend who has it, who's played it, or a remix, for crying out loud. You know, so it's interesting to see how important the mixing of the mediums now is. You know, look at Madden. Madden's announcements about the music, the soundtrack, is nearly as big as the announcement of the game. Same thing with NBA, Baller's Game. I mean, it's huge. And so it's really cool to me to see that the music is as much of the story and as big and as important as the gameplay itself. And that's just cool.
Well, of course, because music is part of I think it's part of the industry. I mean, it's not nearly as tied into the basic mechanics, but it is still part of it. And, I mean, why not market on that? Why not, you know, get profit in that and be talented enough to play? for one thing.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's really taken so long, and I'm surprised at myself for not harping on this earlier and recognizing it earlier myself, because, you know, I'm kind of like a baby audiophile. And
music, really?
Yeah, just a little bit. And music is really important in my life, and I've realized that, you know, the games that I tend to really, really enjoy, the ones that I own and keep and continue to play over and over again, it's that their music is also just as big a part of the game to me as the gameplay. And I didn't really consciously recognize that until watching Video Games Live. So, Tommy Tallarico, thank you for that. It was a good experience. I had a fun weekend. Panda, what do you got for the people?
I pretty much have finally come to the realization that even though I had this new slim and life's just been going well. That
Rub it in. Why don't you?
That something.
Please go clockwise with it, though, because I chafed the other way.
That something was missing. I had this brand new console. It was shiny. I had no new games outside of Crackdown 2, but I needed something more. Something that everybody
Crackdown
else...
Crackdown 3?
Well, that won't be for any time soon. But I needed something to go with my new system. Something that I hadn't even...
Pandora?
Close. Try again.
GameFi.
No, try one more time. Something that we know...
Marketplace.
No. Apparently, you've run out of chances. And what I'm talking about...
Oh.
Netflix.
I'm your sister. I should totally get a mulligan.
You don't, though.
You suck. I would give you a mulligan.
Would you?
I would.
Okay, fine.
But you'd only get one. And I tell you only get one.
Okay, you
like
only get one.
Like in Vegas. You only get one.
No, that is a serious mulligan, though. That's like a that's like a mulligan inside of a glass case.
That's a mulligan for your ass.
In case of dead hooker.
Yeah. In case of dead hooker, you only get one.
Yeah.
I help you with one. That's it.
Anyway, so I'm talking about Netflix. Netflix.
Oh.
It's been around forever. I just never invested in it with my fatty box. at the same time, you know, at the time I didn't have a job, so money was kind of tight.
That kind of influenced not investing in it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was no way I was going to invest without any money. So, obviously, times have changed, and I finally decided that, you know what, it's time for me to join the rest of the fucking human race.
I don't have Netflix.
Oh, well.
I had it back in the day when it first came out.
Oh, well, I really like Netflix. I really do. I'm very surprised at first. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, what will Netflix do that I couldn't just drive to Best Buy and do myself? Well.
One, you don't have to drive.
Yeah. And two, I can watch TV on it. I can watch anime on it that might not be at Best Buy. I can obviously get movies that are new releases. I can get those through discs, which I don't mind. So, I mean, obviously I'm still in the 2-week free trial and I've already tested out getting, you know, getting discs right away. And I mean, they came instantly. I first got Dr. Horrible's Sing Along Blog just because I like Neil Patrick Harris.
Who doesn't like the NPH? I mean, seriously. And Nathan Fillion is so dreamy.
Oh, my God.
So dreamy. And I mean, seriously. He's so dreamy.
And then I went and got a movie for both me and Eshmom, and I had me and Eshmom watch Precious.
Oh, that was wrong. I could have told you not to do that.
Well, we both kind of
It has a sad. It has a serious sad.
Literally, this is how our thought went. When the movie came out, ooh, that looks good. Ooh, Eshmom, I don't know if I want to see that in the theater because that's some deep shit right there. You're right. We should wait until it comes out on video or DVD. Several months later, Mom, it's out on DVD. Yeah, but it's still kind of dark. I don't know if I'm ready to buy that yet. Maybe we'll just catch it on HBO. And finally, I was like, Netflix, give it to us. We sat down and we did, in fact, watch it. And yikes.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, Monique totally deserved the Oscar, but I don't need to see the movie for getting it. Okay?
There's Gabourey, something still burnt into my mind.
Gabourey was awesome, and I think Gabourey should have got some shit, too. But Monique went to some really nasty, dirty, like, scary, woohoo place.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can vouch for that because I watched the movie.
Yeah, I saw the trailers. I didn't need to see the movie. I was like, yeah.
And for once, they made Mariah Carey ugly. Well, not ugly, but just plain.
Yeah. So I looked at it like this. I was like, yeah, I see you, trailer. I see where you going. I don't want to go down that road. I want the happiness and lollipops road. So I did not go.
It wasn't a bad experience. But needless to say, as soon as we were done watching it, I was like, all right, Ashmon, put these in the mail tomorrow, please, because we're done. And they give you confirmations when something gets sent out, when it comes back. I mean, they're right on top of that. And I mean, I'm still trying to get used to the instant queue deal, because the first day I got it, I was like, I don't understand, but then I got it. And I mean, I've got it,
and then you're like, oh, I get it. And
yeah, like, exactly. It's totally like that. And I mean, I've enjoyed it. I mean, I'm probably going to watch a lot of TV shows that I've been thinking, oh man, I really would like to watch that. When's that on? Oh, when I'm at work.
The day job. Damn you for impeding upon my Cardinals television enjoyment.
But needless to say, I don't have to worry about that now because now I can catch up on all those.
Didn't you have a DVR though?
Yeah, but Esh Mom always kept putting Bad Girls Club and shit on there, so I could never record any of my shows because it always came on. Like when I was trying to record the WCG Ultimate Gamer, she was like, yeah, but the Bad Girls reunion show's coming on tonight, and I'm going to be next door, so I can't watch it. And I'm like,
so your DVR can't record two things at the same time?
No.
Lame! My can.
No, it can't, and also, she just had so much, like, she kept recording the same series over and over. So there'd be, like, three or four recordings of the same episode. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, Mom, the DVD recording space is full. Well, I don't know how that happened. I'm like, yes, you do. So I just sit there one day and delete them all. And it's not like a whole group all delete.
Right.
You gotta go.
No, it's one at a time. Do you want to delete this? Are you sure you want to delete this?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to delete this. Really? Delete it already.
Exactly. So needless to say, I wasn't too happy about that. So this is a way that, you know, because Esh Mom doesn't touch my Xbox, this is a way that I can watch my shows.
Because she's scared to touch it.
More or less. She doesn't, she can have the DVR and I can have my Netflix. And it works for both of us. The great thing, another good thing about it is I've noticed is they've got a lot of anime on there. And really? I don't know, yes. And I don't know if people out there don't know, but, you know, a lot of really good animation, you know, you're not going to find in stores. Especially right now with all the pirating and stuff, it's kind of hard to find really good stuff on the shelves.
That's because the Pirate Bay got blowed the fuck up.
More or less.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
no can has pirate.
Yeah. So, I mean, granted, they still have stuff in the stores, but, I mean, it's all the same stuff that I've probably, A, already seen, and, B, I'm looking for different things now.
Well, it's hard to find sequential episodes now, even. I mean, Best Buy went from having, you know, an anime double-sided aisle to, you know, the closest Best Buy I have has, like, half a one-sided aisle, and there are no box sets anymore, and there are no sequential series anymore. So it's really difficult to find.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Granted, my Best Buy, you still find a lot of box sets. But for one, a lot of the box sets that I noticed as of late are all box sets that I already own. And the anime,
the things are getting re-released.
Yeah. Which is a sign of a downfall, actually.
That's why I went with Crunchyroll.
So, I mean, but needless to say, you know, the anime section on Netflix is actually, it's really good.
Kind of, I mean, like what?
Like, let's see, what have I watched recently? I've watched a lot of anime since I got Netflix, outside of the ones that I've been buying off of Amazon. So, I mean, like, the other day I watched, what was it, The Land Promised in Our Early. Yeah, that one. I always get that.
The Land Before Time with the dinosaurs promised to us in the days when we were younger.
In the early future. But
mid-afternoon on a Thursday.
I mean, if you've gone to Anime Boston in the last few years, a lot of the time if you go to the AMV competition, a lot of people will use clips from that movie to make, like, a drama. But, one, it's a movie, so there's only so many clips you can use, so they all kind of started looking similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I have never seen this. And everyone's like, it's actually really good. You should try it. You know, and I never pursued it after that. And the first thing in the drama section was this movie. And I said, you know what? I really want to watch this. And I sat down, watched it, and my mind, like, mushroom clouded.
Oh, man.
I was like, whoa, that was really deep. Mind you, that movie came out a while ago. But, I mean, they have all these different series up here, some that I've heard of that I've never had a chance to go and, like, tap my, you know, my anime toe into the pool.
Like?
Like the one I'm going to talk about right now.
Okay.
So I watched a whole series. It was only 13 episodes long. It screams, girl. Girl, 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 girl.
God, titty, 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 titty,
no.
Titty?
No, just
no.
Girl power. We can do this. Think.
Oh, like saccharine.
Minus Cirque du Soleil.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So take Sora, give her longer hair, and make her want to be an idol.
Like a singer. Pray to? Oh.
Like Paula Abdul without the drugs.
Ew. Okay. No. Don't make me think of that.
Like.
That's just wrong.
All right. I can't think of another one. But I'll
like
think of something.
Ashley Simpson without the nose?
Ashley Simpson with the talent?
Oh. I always forget that part.
Anyway, moving
Lady forward. Gaga without the theatrics?
Yes.
Yay!
Okay, that will work too. So anyway, the anime series was called Chance Pop Session. It's actually kind of, it's old, I'd say by at least 9 years. It got its initial release back in 2001.
Okay.
And this was also during the trio of ADV voice actresses, you know, Hilary Hagg, Monica Rial, and I think what's the other chick's name?
You can't talk about the trilogy and not have the names of the trilogy ready.
Yeah. Kelly Cousins and I think Tiffany Grant. So there's a lot
in the trilogy.
No, but I'm just saying, of all the, they're all in there, but the first three that I mentioned are all, like, grouped in the anime. Like, they're all in some way related to each other. Like, they're the three protagonists of the series.
Oh, okay. All right,
and
gotcha.
And Tiffany Grant is the antagonist for a while, actually.
Okay.
So that makes
sense. She's the antagonist to the protagonist?
Yes.
Yeah. I are smart. I have a plus moment. I get plus five too.
So let me give you a rundown.
Okay.
So you've got these three separate girls living these three separate lives, kind of like Charlie's Angels without
the Charlie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Essentially,
Lady Gaga without the talent. We got Charlie's Angels without the Charlie. I'm with you so far.
You know, so this one girl, Akari, she lives at a church. She's a church singer. I was so surprised they didn't make this bitch black. Because I'm like, most top voice.
Baptist church or.
I mean, they were singing. They were, and they were all, you know, because in anime.
They were having a spirit.
Yeah. And I was
and
like.
They should have been black. Yeah,
exactly. But whatever.
I'll observating.
Exactly. You know, and she just loves to sing. If there's anything in her heart to do, it's sing. And that's all she wants to do. She sings in the
choir.
She's a good girl. I think she's probably about 17 years old. Doesn't look like it. Looks like she'd probably be around 19, 20. But I'm going to let that go. Because anime does that.
Yeah, anime makes 12-year-olds into 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
So she won't feel nasty about them. Fucking! Go ahead.
So, I mean, and she lives a quiet life with this priest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this other girl, Yuki, kind of a street urchin, you know, lives in a solo apartment. She does odd jobs just to get by. And all she wants in her heart, in her mind, all she wants to do is sing also.
Okay.
And then there's this very young, spoiled rich girl called Nozomi. And, you know, privileged, has never had a care in the world. And she's actually, there's this idol named Rika. I don't know if you know much about the music industry over in Japan, but you know, like you always see like giant billboards with like posters of a single, not just the CD, but like when a new single comes out, it's like as big as
a CD was being dropped.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, oh my God, a new single came out. But anyway, so Rekka's been like the top, you know, idol forever. And all three of these girls idolize her. Like they do. They go apeshit. And there's a concert going on. Now, it's really funny because in a weird way, they each get a chance to go to this concert. Akari, there's this really cute guy named Kaito who's, like, in love with her, and she's kind of oblivious and doesn't really get that. He, like, pulls all this money together to get her tickets, but he can't go. He has to work. Like, such a nice guy. You know he wants to bone her. And
he
wants
to do you up in your naughty space.
Yes. With the holy light.
With the holy light?
With his holy light.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, anyway, so, my goodness.
But Akari lives such a, you know, lives such a sheltered life. You know, she's never really interacted in the city. So it's a big deal for her to go. Mm-hmm. You know, and she goes. And Yuki actually starts working as a roadie for this one particular show for Reika. So she gets to go. Okay. You know, but she's up in the production. She's, like, doing all the light stuff. And Nozomi, her parents don't want her going out. Like, it's really weird. They're very overly protective of her. And I'm like, I guess they're rich. They really don't want their daughter to get tainted by the evil horrors of the city and boys and semen. And I guess I get that. But they send, like, their manservant to go with her to the concert so that she'll behave herself. And she's kind of very cocksure. Like, she's like, I want to go. Mm. And I'm daddy's little girl. And daddy will give me everything I want, which is essentially true.
You know how much I love those characters in anime.
Oh, yeah. At first, I really thought I was going to hate her. But anyway, they all go to the concert, and they're all in separate places, and they all are just captivated by the show. So in that sense, think Sora when she first went to go see, you know, the Kaleida stage. And she was right. Like, oh, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. They each have that moment.
Okay.
And as they're all leaving, there are these flyers for this new class at this Akiba art school, music school. Okay. For them to sing like Reika. So they all in their own way are like, this is what I want to do. So Akari has to go back to the priest and be like, this is what I want to do. And he's like, no, you're going to live a quiet life because I raised you and you're like my daughter. And you can't be an idol because it's like being idolized by everyone's like being the devil. And I forbid it. And she was kind of like, F you, father. I'm going to do what I want. And she does.
Yeah, F you, daddy.
More or less. And he's a father, too. Like, he's a priest, too. So she has
oh,
all this...
Oh, awesome. Her yeah, dad's a priest.
No. Listen. Listen. Wait. It gets convoluted. Just give me a minute.
Oh, because that's not convoluted.
I know, right?
My daddy's a priest.
She's got this money saved up, but she has just enough to apply to get in.
Of course.
Nozomi doesn't...
Just enough.
Yeah. Nozomi doesn't have to worry about anything. She just blinks and she has the money. You know, like I said, Yuki's been working her ass off with all these small hand jobs. Like, you know, she, like, directs traffic. She's a serf, you know. And she has all this money saved up. And on the day that they're all going to apply to get in, Yuki gets her purse stolen, so she can't get in. She doesn't have the tuition money.
Of course.
So at one point, she's like, oh, my God, I'm just going to give up, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, there's this street band who's like, well, we need a chick because we don't have much sex appeal, and you're kind of sexy. So she's like, I'll do this without some elite fancy school, blah, blah, blah. And the other two, Akari and Nozomi, get in. So, you know, there are some girls who have been at this academy for, like, 4 years now, and they're, like, seniors, and they haven't been selected to do anything. You know, and when these new freshmen come in, they always kind of pick on them and size them up, which is kind of what happens at any high school. So this is kind of, you know, normal. And this lady, who used to be an idol, has this long, bushy brown hair. I thought she was going to be black, too, but then she turned around and she was pale as a sheet. And that makes some sense if you watch some Clamp stuff. But
yeah, okay.
She's the headmistress of the school, and she was an idol, and she's the one who discovered Reika. And she's trying to find another project to be immersed in.
Okay.
Because Reika's so set, she doesn't need to watch Reika anymore because she already knows what she's doing. So she wants to birth a new group, so to speak. So that's why
birth them. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. Hell.
She makes this special class. And she goes, and she's there for about 2 days, and she's watching all these girls go through their vocal exercises and their dance, and she's looking for that quality. And she sees it in Nozomi and Akari and Jun, who's the antagonist, who I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those two, since they're at the school, get put into this S class, and all the seniors are like, what the fuck? Like, they're freshmen. They haven't been here as long as we have. They're not professionals, blah, 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 blah. You know, so girl angst, oh my God, we're going to, like, trip you down the stairs, and we're going to do all these mean things because we don't like you because you're going to succeed and we suck, essentially. You know, and Yuki's doing her thing with her own band on the street, and she's getting so much recognition. You know, there are camboys. I don't know if you know what camboys are.
No.
You know those older gentlemen that you see in animes that look kind of old and creepy that either have, like, pictures of whoever they're looking at and, you know, have cameras and phones? They're the ones that sometimes take pictures up girl skirts.
Ew.
They're called camboys over there.
Oh.
Anyway, there's this camboy who, like, runs the noodle shop, actually. And he starts seeing Yuki perform, and he builds this website to her. And she can sing. So it's not a matter of her, like, just being a girl wearing scantily placed clothing. Mm-hmm. Like, she actually has talent.
Okay.
But there's so much problems going on in the S-class because Jun's all like, I'm a solo artist. I don't work with people. And the headmistress is trying to make a group, not just a solo. She wants to make something bigger. So Jun just refuses to work with these other two girls. And, you know, Akari and Nozomi are like, we want to stay here, so we're going to work together. I don't know why you think you're better than us. We're all in the exact same class. And, you know, Jun just has this giant stick up her ass. And, you know, the headmistress notices that they don't go well together. But she gets word of Yuki and this band, and she hears her, and she pulls her into the class, and she essentially has Jun compete with these other three as a group to see which one would do well. Okay. And, I mean, things just start happening with these girls because they each have this article, like this piece of jewelry, and you have to watch for it because it's not something that just pops up out of nowhere. Like, you might see a flash of Yuki's earring or... You know, Kari has a necklace, and you don't see Nozomi's piece until the very end. But they all have this stone that's exactly the same. And at first you find out that Akari and Yuki are sisters. And they all thought that they were, you know, alone in this. Like, you know,
okay.
So you're kind of like, okay, so you guys are sisters. That's really awesome. And okay. And they're dealing with that, and... Then Akari's boyfriend gets hit by a bus, and he dies in episode 6. And you're kind of like, whoa, episode 6? Like, I know there's only 13 episodes, but couldn't you have waited until, like, 7, the unlucky number? Like, we were still in the realm of, like, the first DVD. I'm like, that's a lot of shit to give me right off the bat, dude. You know? And
Process.
I mean, it was such a girly thing. And I mean, if you know anything about Hilary Hagg, you know, and Monica Rial, their kind of voices. I mean, Akari was done by Kelly Cousins, and she's just kind of a more mature voice. So she played the older sister. So, you know, she's like, you guys, we just have to work together. And Yuki's like, May from Kaleidostar.
Okay.
That's mm-hmm. Hilary Hagg.
Okay.
So, and that's the exact same voice she has for Yuki. I'm going to kick your ass.
Oh.
You know, kind of voice.
Yeah, I really didn't like the May character.
You're not supposed to. She was meant to be an antagonist to Sora.
I know, but she was really a dick. She wasn't just an antagonist. She was a dick.
But anyway, let me just spoil all this. So
yeah, go ahead. Get to it.
These three girls who, by, you know, chance, came together for this group are all actually long-lost sisters. Their mother, who used to be an idol, who, oh, yep, was the headmistress, used to be the top idol in Japan back in her day. She fell in love with an artist, and she had to give up her career to be with him. And then he got sick with, like, cancer or something and, like, died. and the idol then couldn't take it then, so she, like, put all of her kids and her on a boat, and then they jumped off the boat. And when she came to, she was alive, but she didn't know where her daughters were. And the priest guy, like, found them and put them in an orphanage. And then he took the older one, and the other two got adopted by two other sets of people.
Uh-huh.
So, like, but they each had a piece of jewelry with them when they were little and or baby, because, like, the youngest one was, like, a baby. So, like, so they have to come to terms with the fact that, oh, my God, we were never alone, and now we're in this band, and we're together, and, oh, my God.
And we're sisters.
And we're sisters, and we found our real mom, and we're sisters. Oh, my God, drama. And we're sisters. I mean, literally, all this stuff was just falling into...
Yeah, you lost me.
Into that... I mean, there's a lot of music going on. I actually think a band, because I watched it in English, but there's obviously there are Japanese voice actors, and I actually think that the Japanese voice actresses for these three girls are an actual band. So I think this anime was a very strong way to promote their singing, because there were a lot of different aspects to the anime where it turned into, like, a music video, like when Akari's boyfriend got hit by the truck and, like, died. Like, I was really assuming that he would get hit by the bus truck thing and, like, would be, like, beaten up, but I wasn't expecting the dude to die, for one thing. Like, I was like, wow, really? No hospital scene, no, like, final beep, just, oh, he's dead? Okay, we'll process this in one episode, sure. Okay. You know, and they turned it into a music video where she was, like, seeing a spirit and there were white balloons. I was like, okay. I love music videos.
Yeah,
I love,
no, I'm sorry. You've really lost me. Okay.
Yeah, literally.
We're all sisters, but we didn't know we were sisters because we got separated because of what happened in the past from our mom, because she was there was a dude and there was sickness, but oh, beast, God. And then but we're sisters and we all sing because we got it from our mama. Listen. And my brain is about to explode.
Think of it this way: it was lost and then it was found, and it was awesome.
No,
them. But I mean, needless to say, there were a lot of music video like transitions in the anime, which I mean, the music wasn't bad. In fact, I liked a lot of it, but I thought a lot of it was misplaced. So I mean, don't get me wrong. Did the story make a lot of sense? Not really. It felt very linear. Okay, so the first two found out that they were sisters. You could kind of tell that there was no way that the third girl in this group wasn't gonna be a sister. I just kind of wish they had, you know, just thrown that in really fast, like in episode 8, instead of waiting till episode 13 to be like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm your sister too. Okay, well, that was a nice wrap up. Here's a bow. Yay, we're a pop star now, and we're gonna be
a family.
I'm surprised it didn't end with that song. You know, a Japanese version of that song. I am very surprised.
You know, it wanted to.
I wouldn't be surprised. But I mean, was it entertaining? The music was really good. The animation style was definitely something out of that 2000-2003 span of animation. So, I mean, it wasn't nearly as high-tech as, like, Gonketsuo or Romeo x Juliet, really. It was a little bit before that in terms of animation style.
Okay.
Like I said, if you're really not paying attention, I mean, you really couldn't fall out of place with the story if you're watching it. One sister, two sister.
Three sister bunch!
Yeah, like, more or less. So, I mean, as long as you held on to that, there was no way. Like, literally by the end of it, I think I was in episode 8 when Eshmom came home, and she was like, oh, I think I get this. And I'm like, yeah, Mom, it's pretty linear. You just got to watch it. You know, and I'm like, Mom, guess this. I'm like, here's what's going to happen in episode 9. And then this is what's going to happen in 10. And either this is going to happen in 12 or it's going to happen in 13. And literally, I nailed it. Like, it was so linear, it wasn't crazy. And she's like, you're really good. I'm like, I've had some skill.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of anime.
Yeah, more or less. But, I mean, if it's something that, you know, you want to... If you want something that's kind of like Kaleidostar in the sense of these girls striving to be something, then this is something you could definitely watch. Not to mention, it's free on fucking Netflix. So, you don't have to buy it. If you have fucking Netflix, you can just watch it. You can get it done in a day. I know I did. And
yeah, no, I don't need to watch it because you have.
Yeah, I have my little red marker of seen it, and now it's done. But I enjoyed it. I really did. I watched something really deep that made my mind mushroom cloud, and then I watched some, you know, mindless pillow.
Fluff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a great day.
I'm not knocking you. I'm just it's not for me.
So. I don't think I'd want it as a gift, and I wouldn't buy it, but it's free on Netflix, which is kind of like renting. So rent it.
If you have Netflix.
If you have Netflix. Otherwise, don't seek it out. But the music was still good, so I mean, if the three girls, the Japanese girls, are actually a band, I would totally buy their CD.
Okay.
But I don't...
That's fair enough.
I'm not too sure there, but if they are, then I would totally buy their magazine. Easy. Hands down.
You know what other magazine you should buy?
Our magazine.
Absolutely. Check us out on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or our short address, which is...
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce you along one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or even just questions for us, you can email us at our new email address, mailbag@landofesh.com.
It has newness.
If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, then you just need to subscribe and get it over with.
Absolutely. That way you can be assured of getting every episode as soon as we put it out on the internet in your little digital ear hole. Well, actually, your ear hole isn't digital. Just what's going in it is every single week without fail. So do it now. Don't be a suckerfish.
And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine, but also be looking out for some great shows that come out of the ESH camp.
That's right. We're not the only show that exists in the Land of Esh. Our new episodes go out on Mondays. New episodes of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast go out on Tuesdays. And new episodes of the Geek Agro podcast go out on Wednesday. So right there, we got your nerd pretty well covered. But be sure to check back with all of our websites, respectively, individually, or through our portal, landofesh.com, to make sure that you're keeping up with all the news that you can use from the geeks you trust and love. Mostly meaning us. And then follow us on Twitter, engage with us on our Facebook group, become fans, people. We want to, one, first get our vanity URL, and then, two, we want to grow our fan base. We need minions. We're running low on minions.
I don't have any minions.
Yeah, see, she's out of minions.
I never had a minion.
You did have a minion, but now you don't have a minion. And I'm only...
Where'd he go?
He died. But I'm down with my last minion and a half.
Did you feed him?
It wasn't my minion to feed.
But I, like, let you borrow him for, like, a week.
Yeah, I fed him while I had him.
Oh. Shit.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, I'm looking for a new minion.
So help us out. Become fans. Turn into minions. Spread the gospel.
Spread it like AIDS.
No.
First go to Africa.
No. Wildfire. Spread it like wildfire.
Let's go to California.
Stop it. Oh, you're going to get us in such trouble this week. Just be fans. We love interacting with you guys, getting your questions, talking about stuff. Absolutely have a ball, so interact with us, whichever channel you want to use. Commenting on the blog, talking to us on Twitter, interacting with us on Facebook, hell, talking about the YouTube stuff. We will find it when you post it, and we will get back to you.
Beep.
If you'd like to retry your call, please hang up and dial again. Anyway, do you have shit that you dig this week, Pandalicious?
Netflix! And ramen noodles.
Okay, which ramen noodles? In the pack or in the cup?
In the pack.
That's my sister.
Fuck the one in the cup.
Yeah, the cup stuff is just...
Fuck the cup of noodles, my ass.
Not where it's at. That is not where it's at.
And Scott Pilgrim the Game, that's out on the PS3 right now.
It's coming to Xbox Live soon. Why it didn't come out the week the movie came out, I don't know. I don't make decisions like that.
Yeah, but the only reason why is because I think right now the only issue with it is there's no multiplayer cross consoles. Like, it's got to be local, which sucks. Infested balls of feces. I'm just saying. The game's totally awesome. I'm having so much fun playing it. So if you haven't got it, you should go get it.
Okay.
Don't be stupid like me and didn't realize you have to buy the demo first and then an unlock thing, because that took me a bit to figure out. But
you figured it out.
I did.
Did you figure it out by yourself, or did you have to get assistance?
I had to get assistance. I asked Grandma, and I was like, why doesn't this work? He's like, did you buy the demo? I'm like, why do I need to buy the demo for? And he was like, because it's actually the full game. You just need to buy that and buy the, unlock. I was like, that's fucking lame. Because Xbox is like, boom, instant, you're done. You don't have to do the second step shit. But anyway, game, totally awesome. I dig it. So okay. I said that, ramen noodles, and
Netflix.
Jeggins.
Oh, and dragons.
No, Jeggins.
Oh!
Not dragons, Jeg. Like, jigs, Jeg.
Yeah,
Jeggins.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yes, they're sexy and they make me look hot.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
What do you dig?
I actually dig Fluffernutter sandwiches.
You always dig Fluffernutter sandwiches.
Now, I've never dug a Fluffernutter sandwich before. No. I've just said that I wanted to make one before.
That's true.
But I dig Fluffernutter sandwiches. I also dig, Deadmau5. Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Deadmau5 this week. Been doing a lot of up-tempo upkeep, if you will. And ponies.
Oh, now you dig ponies.
Not P-O-N-I-E-S. P-W-N-I-E-S.
Oh.
Yeah. Put that in your mind hole and think and aid on it.
Okay.
So.
I like those ponies, too.
Yeah, I think I am one.
Me, too.
I think I might be one.
I'm a pony.
Well, email us and let us know if you're a pony. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out of here, folks.
Later.
Next week.